All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to a brand new and yes, very clearly delayed episode of Artsy Fartsy Immigrants. Today I am back here in the home studio and, you know, some people love this. Some people, I guess I have the feeling, maybe don't love this. Although, I've never had someone come up and say like, man, I wish you wouldn't do this. But that's just me in my head thinking that maybe it's annoying. But welcome to the overthinking life and the exciting world of ADHD. Ladies and gentlemen, today is going to be a TikTok live. Let's get into it. We are going to, just before I say let's get into it again, because that's usually the drop, we are going to try and figure out where people are from, where they're watching from, and look up some fun facts about where they live and make fun of it. So now, here we go! Usually when I go on, you can send a goodie bag in your life, so your viewers may stay for the fun of unboxing the stories. Oh, I didn't even know that. Okay, so usually when I kick off a TikTok live podcast episode, I like to sort of have a theme going on. It's an interesting part of the day to be doing this. I know a lot of people are working. I hope that whoever's joining now in this live is literally at a desk in their office wasting corporate time. That I prefer that. I would hope for that, and I really hope that for you guys too. So for those hopping in now, I know that people come in and come out and come in and come out all the time. So for those listening in the podcast later, I will be repeating this theme a lot for people to just understand what my goal is with this. But I would really like to know throughout the conversations we'll have here where people are watching from, so that we can look up some fun facts about where you're from or where you're living and maybe make some jokes about it, because, you know, that's kind of what I do. I didn't say they were going to be good jokes, but they will be jokes. I saw that a guy joined named Mark Stuttgart, so I have a pretty good feeling where you're from. Let's look up some fun facts about Stuttgart. I am so curious about this because for those who have been around and or live in Germany, the hate for other cities, depending on where you live, is very, very strong. So let's see if there's like fun facts. Yesterday I did Switzerland, but I couldn't actually keep that recording. It didn't really work out very well, so I'm starting over. Fun facts about Stuttgart you might not know. Let's get into it, just for the Mark guy who joined. Oh, this says, unlock Stuttgart's secrets. 10 astonishing facts that will transform your view of this German gem. Literally have never once heard any German person call Stuttgart a German gem. Seems a bit hyperbolic, but let's see. So, Europe's, number one, Europe's largest mineral spa paradise. Okay. All right. This website says, what if we told you that beneath Stuttgart's bustling streets lies a hidden oasis of relaxation? Brace yourselves, it says. It says that, brace yourselves. Because Stuttgart is home to the largest mineral spa in Europe. Now, I personally have never been to a mineral spa before. I don't actually know what that means, so I'm going to try and see if they explain it a little bit. The city sits on a massive reservoir of mineral-rich water. Okay, and it says, and boy, and boy, do they know how to use it. That sounds gross. Why would they say it like that? This city sits on a massive reservoir of mineral-rich water, and boy, do they know how to use it. Like, why would you say it like that? Das Leutze Mineral Spa Complex is a whopping, written by an American, whopping 3,000 square meters of pure bliss. Yeah, they're building up quite a lot of expectation here, right? If you say something is built on a whopping 3,000 square meters of pure bliss, it's like, I better go in there and come out with Margot Robbie in my arm. Like, I need to go in there and come out just like, I need to literally die and exit into heaven. Pure bliss. It's a spa. Featuring multiple pools. Cool. Saunas. We're going to get into that. Sometimes it's nice. Sometimes it's very much not nice. And even a, quote unquote Dead Sea floating pool. But here's the kicker. I love when articles say that as if we're in a conversation and I don't believe them. But here's the kicker. The water is so mineral rich that it's officially classified as Heilwasser. Healing water? Stuttgart went so far to put a reservoir, a big, like, spa on top of this enormous mineral water reservoir. And then be like, you know what? It's got healing powers. You should come by, man. It'll, like, do you feel, like, lonely and, like, sick and, like, tired all the time? Come to the reservoir, dude. It's got healing water literally in it, okay? And so next time you're feeling stressed, remember that Stuttgart's got your back. Sounds like it's got your balls if you're in a sauna. And your front. Ew, they took my joke, but they made it worse. So next time you're feeling stressed, remember that Stuttgart's got your back. And your front. And, well, every other part of you, too. Don't make that joke. Don't make that joke. Guys, I want to get this thing rolling. If we're having fun today, please share the live so we can get a whole thing going on here. I'm making fun of places where you guys live, looking at fun facts, having a good time, hoping that I can make your day a little bit better here. So Stuttgart, the only place I've noticed so far in the list, has the world's first TV tower. See, now that's interesting. The world's first TV tower. That is interesting, actually. It says, hold on to your hats. Okay, literally holding it. Because we're about to drop a bombshell. I don't like, okay, this is a pet peeve, and this is probably starting to annoy either you guys or the people listening to this on the podcast. I cannot stand this overly cheesy kindergarten teacher language. It's like what they thought people would say, like, it's kind of like something that was like almost a joke of itself, and then it became something they thought was normal, and they just keep repeating it. So now it is just there. But for those joining, let me know where you're watching this from, because I can put your city or country on the list next, and we can look up some fun facts and make fun. Hold on to your hats about Stuttgart, because we're about to drop a bombshell. Stuttgart is home to the world's first TV tower. Yep, you heard that right, it says, as if it told me something absolutely unbelievable. While everyone's gushing about the Space Needle or the CN Tower, Stuttgart's been quietly sitting on this, quietly sitting on a big old needle, huh? On a big old tower. Thanks for liking the live, guys. I hope you're having some fun so far. Let me know where you're watching from so I can put your city or country on the joke list next. This says, Stuttgart's been quietly sitting on this architectural gem since 1956. The Fernsehturm Stuttgart stands tall at 217 meters and was the prototype for all the TV towers that followed. Okay, look, I can't really make so much fun of that, right? I think what's funnier to me about this particular fact is that the language used is so stupid. The language used, so lame. But having the global first TV tower, you know, you got to give credit where credit is due. I can't be that harsh on that. The language is used as if it's like, this is like Stuttgart is a kid and this article is written by his mom. He's like, hold on to your hats, guys. We have a spa. It's actually considered healing water. I consider it healing water. And then they're talking about TV towers. Anyway, number three, guys, please put one city or country where you're watching this from so I can leave out of Stuttgart. I don't want to keep on Stuttgart, but I have to stay on a city, so it's interesting. Masked Deadpool. I have not been in Kit Kat, but I know a lot of interesting stories about it. We can get into that in a little bit. We can talk about Berlin. There's a lot of fun facts about Berlin. Rancho Kid, thank you so much for all the support. I really appreciate that. The Subterranean Labyrinth in Stuttgart. All right, urban explorers. This one's for you. Frankfurt, thank God. Thank God. Okay, oh my God. I was so happy to get out of Stuttgart there. Okay, so fun facts about Frankfurt. Here we go. Frankfurt. I love the titles for like city articles for traveling. It's like 10 crazy facts you'd never know. Okay, let's see. Whenever you guys want to write a city or a country that you're watching this from, let me know so I can make a list. Yeah, here's my pens are here. Okay, so we have, we've done Stuttgart. Now it's Frankfurt. Okay, here we go. Here's some Frankfurt fun. Let's see. Frankfurt's hidden wonders. 10 surprising facts that will change how you see this vibrant city forever. Ah, Zurich, thank God. Okay. It's also just like, it's just nice to have some varieties here. Okay. Get ready to have your mind blown, blah, 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 corporate speak. Okay, number one. Frankfurt, home to the world's largest robot. Why? What? Really? Okay, that's mildly interesting, but it's funny to be like, hey, come to Frankfurt. You've never been there before? Dude, we got the world's largest robot. We got the biggest clanker ever, dude. It sucks. Gelsenkirchen? Okay, I'll write it down. Gelsenkirchen. If I'm reading and you guys write a city or a country down, please repeat it so I see it. Okay. So, again, it's the same people. It's like, hold on to your hats. Tech enthusiasts, what if we told you that Frankfurt is home to the world's largest robot? That's right, folks. Meet Tradino. Why is the robot in Frankfurt an Italian guy who runs like a pizza place where he just smokes inside? You know? I'm Tradino, the fire-breathing mechanical dragon that calls this city home. Now, I didn't know it was a dragon. You gotta throw that up front, article. You can't be like, oh, it's the largest Tesla home robot. It's 9 feet tall, and it sucks. You gotta start with like, hey, they have a dragon the size of like most churches in Bavaria. This 11-ton behemoth stands a whopping 4 stories tall. Wow. And stretches out to an impressive 51 feet long. But here's the kicker. Did they just use ChatGPT to write this? It's the same thing as the other article. It's ridiculous. They just replaced the nouns. This isn't some static display. Gradino can move, breathe fire, and even bleed on command. Why would you make him bleed? Why is that an option? Why would you do that? It's like going to the old torture museums in London and just being like, oh, you know what? We can remove your limbs too. Oh, you know, this guy, this image, like this poster, that's a real guy. He's dying. You know what I mean? Like, what are we doing here? Why does he bleed? I was like, oh, fire breathing? Sick. Why is he literally bleeding? This is insane. Thank you for the gifts, guys. Thanks for sharing the live. Hope you're having some fun. Let me know where you're watching this from, and I will put it in my list of places to have some fun with. So, it took $2.4 million to build a giant bleeding mechanical dragon. What is going on in Frankfurt? Number two, literally, when you see this list, it's like, we have a giant bleeding mechanical dragon. It's 4 stories tall, and it weighs the size of a skyscraper. Number two, we have a pretty good book fair. Like, what? Number two is like, calling all bookworms. Did you know that Frankfurt hosts the largest book fair in the world? You just told me about a bleeding mechanical dragon the size of a school bus. And now you're like, and we also really like books. Do you like J.D. Salinger? Did you read any Sylvia Plath recently? I'm skipping it. I'm gonna do one more about Frankfurt, and then I gotta go to the next place. I'm gonna go to Zurich. Let's see here. It's the birthplace of the hot dog. Okay, now we're talking American over here. Hold the mustard. This is so written by ChatGPT. It's written by ChatGPT. I can see it. I hate it. What if we told you that Frankfurt's the birthplace of the beloved hot dog? That's right. The city's namesake, Frankfurter sausage, is believed to be the ancestor of the modern-day hot dog. Legend has it that these tasty treats were first served at imperial coronations way back in the 15th century. Dude, German history is so funny sometimes. It's so funny to me sometimes. They'll be like, yeah, actually, a long time ago, we had these kings and queens, and it was pretty important, so we gave them a couple pair of hot dogs. And they liked them. So now we do that every year all the time. It's like Oktoberfest. It's like, I want a really big wedding. It's like, okay. Like, oh, we can't have it right now. We got to push it just a little bit later. Okay. And then you have it, and it's the most profitable, like, festival, maybe in Europe. I don't know, but, like, especially in Germany. Okay, this is so ChatGPT. It says, like, talk about a royal snack. But here's the juicy part. Ew. Sausages for... What? Oh, sorry. While the exact origin is hotly debated, pun intended. Good one. Frankfurt has been producing these sausages for over 500 years. Damn. Y'all been cranking out wieners over there in Frankfurt for 500 years? Y'all almost like y'allself some wieners, all right? So next time you're chowing down on a hot dog at a ball game, remember to tip your cap to Frankfurt. I'm leaving this website. I want it to be destroyed, and I hate it. I'm going to Zurich. I hate this website. I hate this. The way this is written, I hate this. Who does that? So tip your hats to Frankfurt next time you're chowing down on a big dog in fucking ballpark or something. I see it's the same site. I'm going to go to a different site. I'm going to go to a different one because I am losing my mind with this. Mike, I love you, buddy. I'm glad you're here. I'm doing all right. I'm asking people where they're watching this from, if it's a city or if it's a different country, and I'm like putting it in to make fun of like the top 10 facts or whatever. But the first two things I looked up were from the same website, and it was only ChatGPT. You could tell. It was like, tip your hat next time that you do this. And the whopping fact is this. And I'm like, dude, just tell me. They have this. Dude, Frankfurt, I don't know when you joined, Mike, but Frankfurt was like, oh, we have a 11-ton, like 4-story tall mechanical dragon that bleeds. And then they were like, and we have a book fair. I'm like, what is this? Okay. Oh, this could be good. This could be good. This could be good. Zurich was an early site of female empowerment. Okay. Lyon, France. Okay, let me put that in so I don't forget it. Yes, Mike. Yes. I was freaking out about that. And then they were like, and we have a pretty cool book fair. Instead of Rancho Cordova, Sacramento. Okay. Oh, that's good. That'll have some fun. Sacramento. Okay. If I'm reading and I miss your place, guys, please just write it again so I see it. Zurich was an early site of female empowerment. Let's see here. Frau Münster Abbey, Women's Abbey, was founded in 853 AD, dude. 853 AD. That's not even like a real number, man. Like, you guys were building churches before, like, there were hammers and wheels. Like, dude, like, how? I think about that all the time. Like the Romans and all the insanity of all that. Yes. Well, I am. So you're asking if I have an American accent. I am American. I just do a very good German accent. So I'm glad it fooled you. It means I did a good job. Cause it's a character that I created. So, Women's Abbey was founded in 853 AD alongside the invention of dirt and the Garden of Eden. So, looks like that's a typo. By Louis the German, as a gift for his daughter. Dude, imagine just like that kind of power and wealth where you're just like, man, you know what? It's 853 AD and shit, but like my daughter, she want to have a birthday party, but I don't know. The Beatles don't exist yet. So I guess I'll just build her a church that lasts forever. Oh, don't call me a deceiver. But I'm glad that it's sketch. It's comedy. So I'm glad. I hope you still follow me. I hope I didn't like break your heart. A gift for his daughter. Granted a sizable amount of surrounding land in the 11th century. This is not real, man. The abbey quickly grew in power and influence with its female occupants and its Abbess? American public school, becoming key political figures in the area. A status quo that lasted a considerable time period. You know what? There's not even anything to make fun about that. I mean, the daughter thing and the wealth is just like bananas and how old it is. But I'm all for like what it has basically stood for. Is there anything, Pablo asks, is there anything from the U.S. you would like to have in Germany? Mike, comedic deception. Anything from the U.S. I would like to have here? Oh, well, I've talked to, you can see, you should follow this guy, Mike, by the way. He's a good friend and a great content creator. We talked about the fact that I really miss Taco Bell. I mean, it's essentially like allowing yourself to eat like food, the food form of cyanide. But I just love it. I don't know. I miss that processed taste. And it's probably also nostalgic for me because I ate it so much during college because it was cheap and it tastes good. Get over to Stuttgart. Yeah, I will. I'm gonna come. We're gonna make a plan, Mike. I'm gonna come visit you. We'll make some content together, and then I can go to the base and have some Taco Bell. Like the Taco Bell only exists, I guess, on a maybe. I don't know if it's all of them. Maybe Mike can clarify. But like all or at least some of the military bases here. So I would love that to be just like McDonald's was just like around, because it would be good. I do think sometimes though it would lose its spark, because you know here in Germany they wouldn't make it with like rat meat and like the blood of the poor, and that's kind of I think what gives it the flavor in the South, in the States. Some of them in Germany have talk about okay some of them. We you know Mike, the cool thing is, and I can say it, we haven't announced the dates, but I can say it. In the fall of this year, I will be touring. I'm going to be doing another stand-up show at all of the American military bases. So I will be coming to where you are, but later in the fall, at least for that. I can come earlier. We can make a plan, but I will be there for that too. Zurich has a diverse history. Lake Zurich exhibits evidence of Neolithic and Bronze Age settlements. I'm too dumb for that one. Sorry, guys. You're talking in American here. Zurich gave birth to Dadaism. Really? That's from Zurich. One of our more obscure facts about Zurich, the nonsense anti-war and anti-establishment art movement of Dadaism, at least in its European form, originated in Zurich nightclub. Okay, so Europe is so European right here. I know Switzerland's neutral. I know it's a separate thing, but like Dadaism's formed in a damn nightclub. Really? You have people like, they're like, drop the beat. You know, I'm really thinking about this nonsense anti-war and anti-establishment art movement I'm thinking about. And it's like, dude, no one has pants on. The room is filled with cigarette smoke. Someone just licked a bear in the corner. And you're like, but Dadaism's kind of like cool though, right? The stand-up shows will be only for military bases or civilians. People can also come. You know, that's a good question. I didn't even really consider if it was open to the public. I'm going to be doing some sporadic shows this year. Like, I'm going to go to Budapest. I'm going to go to the Cologne Comedy Festival. I'm going to perform there. That'll be fun. It's much later in the year, though. So there's a lot of opportunities, I think, in between for sprinkled sort of like surprise pop-ups. Like, I have a couple of friends that I can't address that yet, but a couple of friends who were touring. And I'm going to do like some surprise, like pop-in sets. I can announce them closer, you know, like I can, you know, hint at it later when it's closer. But yeah, this year will be the American military bases. There's even one location where my booking agent was like, I literally, it's off campus. I can't tell you. And I'm like, okay, cool. Reminds me of like the Munich security conference where I was trying to go to a bar and these cops stopped us as if it was TSA and as if I had screamed the word like B-O-M-B, you know what I mean? And they like, I was like jacket off inside the shirt, you know, patting me down. You know, they found like a pen in my pocket. They're like, what is this? And I was like, I write things sometimes. And then they took my, they were like, Ausweis bitte. They took my ID. And they held it for so long. I'm no exaggeration. I know that I can be me. They held on to it for like 15 minutes. So, and it was raining. So I'm there like under an awning. And then it was so funny. I was standing under this awning. I was freezing, just waiting to get my ID back. And all of a sudden I look over. There's like legit a guy, black suit, earpiece. And I'm like, damn, this is like Men in Black. I'm expecting for them to be like, look right here for a second. Bloop. And next to him is this dude with a green beret on. And I'm like, yo, I've actually never met a green beret in person. You always hear like, oh, the green berets, you know? So I wasn't going to bother them. I thought like, oh, they're on the clock. Like, this is business time. Like, they have my ID and everyone's all freaked out about everything. And there's like politicians walking around. And then it's so funny. I was there. I was like freezing in the rain, like just waiting. And then I felt a tap on my shoulder, turn around. It's the green beret and the Men in Black guy with the earpiece. And they're like, yo, are you Jason? And I was like, oh, Jordan. And they're like, yo. And then they were, and I ended up talking with them like for another 10 minutes until the cops were like, here's your ID. And then a singular cop escorted me to the door of the bar. It was really insane. Let me just approve this message. I don't know why it cancels certain like completely harmless messages. When I came here as a refugee from Ukraine, your jokes were a really grand support for all refugee camp. That means, like, I keep hitting my mic. Sorry. That means so much to me. Thank you for letting me know that. Honestly, even if, I know the chat's small because it's a weekday and people are working, but like, even if this were like primetime Saturday night sort of stream and there was only one person and it was you and you wrote me that, I would feel like I actually contributed something. You know, it's so easy to feel that you don't, at least in my case, it's so very easy to feel like you're not contributing a lot because you work on something, but then you put it out there and then you just like don't have it in your hands anymore. It's not like you create a sculpture and you can like just look at it all the time, you know? You just see like numbers and sometimes the numbers are really bad. So you don't know, then it kind of like base your sense of worth off of like a fragile digital, like arbitrary, you know, result form or whatever. And so thank you for telling me that. And I really deeply appreciate that. Let's move on from Zurich and let's go to, someone wrote Gelsenkirchen. I bet there's a ChatGPT thing about Gelsenkirchen here. Fun facts about Gelsenkirchen. Dude, wouldn't it be so funny if there were just no results for that? It's the same website. Someone went in with ChatGPT and they did it again. Listen to this. My God. Okay. So, Gelsenkirchen. Again, for those who are here just chilling, tell me what city or country you're watching this from so I can put it on my list. We can look up some fun facts and have a little fun. So, number one, the city of a thousand fires. Back in the early 20th century, Gelsenkirchen was the beating heart of Germany's coal mining industry. Ooh. The city earned its evocative nickname, the city of a thousand fires, thanks to the countless gas flares from its mines. Fun. Chill. Yeah, easy, cool. Which lit up the night sky. Wow. Although the coal mines are long gone, this legacy lives on in the Nordsternpark, a former industrial site transformed into a vibrant recreational area. That kind of makes me feel like people putting like a new playground on the outskirts of Chernobyl. It's kind of like, guys, it's fine. Come chill. Robin's from Chicago. Okay, good. That's a good one. For me, it seems like when you're reading something like this, it's like, yeah, in the city of a thousand fires, we set up a pretty fun recreational area with a dog park. Today, you can explore its green spaces, climb the Nordsterntower, and even see the iconic Hercules of Gelsenkirchen statue. There's a statue. Okay. One time I did a TikTok trend video where it was like, looking, thank you so much. I'm just going to say Zuhul. Sorry. Thank you. That's very sweet. Thank you. One time I did like a TikTok trend where you see like what Disney character you look like. And I was like, look, I'm not expecting Prince Charming or some shit. I'm not going to get Aladdin, you know? But I was like, okay, boop. It's like, and it was the Hunchback of Notre Dame, dude. It killed me. I think I still have the video up. Let's see. Another mining. More coal mining facts. Fun. Gelsenkirchen sounds fun. The Rungenberg mining tip is not just a relic of Gelsenkirchen's coal mining past. It's also an artistic landmark. Standing 40 meters tall, this landscaped slag. Why does that sound racist to me? It's like this landscaped slag. Wouldn't that be like the, like, wouldn't that be a crazy insult? Oh, this landscaped slag heap. Like, I don't know. There's something about the phonetic, like, enjoyment of that for me. It's like, you landscaped slag heap. You know, what do you know about this? Features a unique installation of two light beams that form the shape of a mining lamp when viewed from the right angle. Climbing to the top rewards you with breathtaking panoramic views of the Ruhr region. It's a workout and a cultural experience rolled into one. That's what I'm always asking for, guys. How can I get a workout and a cultural experience. All rolled into one. Dude, when I go to like some smaller, you know, if I go to something like Regensburg or like some place, like some village somewhere for whatever reason, and I'm with Germans and they're like, let's climb the tower. You know, my soul goes, I would rather lay in front of the moving bus that I see over there. Like, part of me always goes, I can't swim great. Can you just shove me into the deepest part of this really rapid, cold river? but then I do it, obviously. You know, you're like, you're with friends, and you wanna be like, yeah. The inside's like, let me go into heaven forever. But then, like, my outside's like, yeah, of course, let's do it. It'll be fun. Yeah, sure. And I always, there's always a mixed reaction, right? There's always like, I do it. I go in, and there's like the halfway point where half my brain is like, I could still jump. I could end this. This could all end, you know, the sweet black forever is just waiting around the corner for me. And then there's the other part where like I finally persevere and get to the top, and then, yeah, okay, sure. It's not like mesmerizing to the point where I'm like, I'm going to do this every weekend. But I do get to the top and then look at everything and I'm like, wow, I can't believe people built this so long ago. This is actually really beautiful. And then I am ready to go. So it is like a thing where I'm like, oh, I'm happy I did this. This is really pretty. Yeah. Would I book it myself? Would I book the tour myself? Hell no, dude. What? Never. Woher kommst du eigentlich, says Trip. Funny that your name on here is Trip, because we're talking about different places that you could potentially take a trip to. We're making fun of them. Thanks for liking the live also. I appreciate that. So I come from the States. So please do not hold that against me currently. I know the political climate's testy for a lot of people. That's why I'm just trying to have a really fun, silly episode where we talk about fun facts from wherever you guys are watching this from, whatever city, whatever country, so we can all just have a good smile on our face here. I'll do one more. I can't believe I'm doing one more of Gelsenkirchen, and then we'll move on to where we go next is France. So, oh, here we go. Haus Lüttinghof, the oldest building in Gelsenkirchen. Sick. This building's really old. Yeah, so is Germany. Okay, now I'm being mean. Think Gelsenkirchen is all about the industry? I never did once at all. Think again. Haus Lüttinghof, a moated castle dating back to the 14th century, probably some gift to like some dude's mistress, is the oldest building in the city. So, not even in the whole country, just the oldest in the city. Okay. I feel like every city kind of has that, but surrounded by lush greenery, this historic site offers a peaceful escape from the urban hustle and bustle. Today, it serves as a venue for events and cultural activities. Gotta book my tickets. It blends medieval charm with modern utility. Basically, it's a castle and they put plumbing inside. Is what I'm getting from this. Okay, okie dokie. Okie dokie, karaoke. Hey, but you live in Germany, right? Yeah. I live in Munich. I'm just an American. Lindenhof ist schöner, oder? I've never been. I don't know. Should I look up Lindenhof also? I can write it down. Lindenhof. Okay, so next would be fun facts about Lyon, France. Oh, great. The same website. It's definitely not written by a robot. Here we go. All right. Unveil the secrets of France's hidden gem. Okay. This is going to be I think there's going to be some things to make fun of here. The fact of the matter is that I do really love France. So I'm going to have to, like, separate that and then make fun of it. I mean, also the language of this article is, it's just ripe for garbage. Circus Germany joined? What's up? All right. So, Lyon, it's the birthplace of cinema. This is what I'm talking about. That's too cool to make fun. I'm like, the birthplace of cinema? Dog. That's my whole thing. That's my whole life, man. It says, hold on to your popcorn, folks. This is definitely not written by a French person. Because we're about to drop a cinematic bombshell. Leon isn't just a pretty face. Whoever programmed their AI to write this, I hope they get diarrhea. Like all day. 2 days in a row. It's not normal to write. It sucks. Okay, anyway. Hold on your popcorn, folks, because we're about to drop a cinematic bombshell. Leon isn't just a pretty face. It's the very cradle of cinema as we know it. Back in 1895, the Lumière brothers... I know them. The Lumière? Lumière? Auguste and Louis held the world's first public film screening right here in Lyon. Lyon. They showcased their groundbreaking invention, the cinematography. The cinematography. I would never survive there, unfortunately. At 14 Rue de la Barrie, this nifty device could record, develop, and project moving pictures all in one go. Talk about a game changer! But wait, there's more. Literally, it says, but wait, there's more. The very first film ever made, I won't even begin to try to pronounce that. I'm just not gonna do that. It's just look it up. It's translated to Workers Leaving the Lumiere Factory. I have seen it. I know this movie, but I've seen this because in film school they like slam all that stuff down your face, but I love it. It was shot right outside the Lumiere Factory. Oh, no way. No way. Workers leaving the factory, and it was shot right outside the factory as workers left. How did they come up with this stuff back in the day? You know, so innovative. Just before CGI just ruined everything. So next time you're munching on movie snacks, remember to raise your soda in a toast to Leon. Could not sound more American. The city that gave birth to your favorite pastime. And if you're feeling extra cinephilic, why? I understand that the term cinephile means cinephile, right? I know, cinephile. Yeah. It's a deep obsessive passion. You're educated on it, and it's an obsession of yours, and it's something that you pay a lot of time to and attention on. Don't like this grammatical like switch up here. I don't like cinephilic. It sounds like a description of like an abscess on your butt cheek. They're like, well, we looked at the cyst, Mr. Prince, and unfortunately, we were hoping that it would have softened by now, but it's sadly it's become cinephilic. It's going to talk into your ear very loudly at a concert and tell you why Paul Thomas Anderson is overrated. CDR, you're going to go to the kino. What are you going to watch? What are you going to see? And if you guys seen any of the nominees for the Oscars, I'd be curious to know. Thanks for joining, guys. If you guys are just hopping in here, tell me like what city or country you're watching this from, because I'm making a list of places and it would be really fun to look at some fun facts and make some jokes, have some fun. So here we go. Oh yeah, so they made this there, blah blah blah, the city they gave birth. Okay, they have a hidden underground city. Oh yeah, doesn't France, I thought that was only in Paris, so all these like underground like catacombs and stuff. What if we told you that beneath Lyon's picturesque streets lies a secret world waiting to be discovered? Brace yourselves, because we're about to take you on a subterranean adventure. I'm just going to start... I know that it's Lyon. I'm going to start saying lion, because I'm trying to read it fast. And when I tell myself, no, pronounce it right, I get stuck. Oh, wait. Okay, well, pause on lion here. Check out Karlsruhe. Okay. Karlsruhe? American living in and watching from Interlaken. Okay, I can look up Interlaken. We already did Zurich. Ich wohne in Maryland, in the U.S.? You're not saying Maryland, right? Or maybe it's the spelling. Maybe it's not Maryland. Maryland, USA. I'm just going to write it down anyway, but we'll figure it out. So Lyon is home to an extensive network, and by the way, those joining now, I'm done explaining myself. I'm saying Lyon on purpose because it's just faster anyway. So Lyon is home to an extensive network of underground passages and chambers known as the fish bones. Ooh, This hidden labyrinth stretching over 30 kilometers. That would be a great, by the way. I don't know if you guys have ever seen As Above, So Below. This horror film about people going to the Paris catacombs. Or I think it's Paris. They're like a movie called The Fish Bones. Oh, that would be sick. This hidden labyrinth stretching for over 30 kilometers was accidentally discovered in 1959 during the construction of a tunnel. Dude, imagine like lobbying with your city council and arguing over budget to build a tunnel. And you finally, after all this like arguing and like compromising, you go in, you're like, and you're like, damn it, there's already a tunnel. There's a lot. No, there's a lot of tunnels. Yeah, way more than you'd think. A lot of tunnels. If we should call this the fish bones. Because there's a lot of fish bones down here. Yeah, in the USA, es ist gar nicht schlecht. I didn't even say it was schlecht. I was just you're speaking in German. And so when you said Maryland, I was like, yeah, Maryland. I have a theory, perhaps, that you don't know that I am American. Dating back to the Roman era, these mysterious passages are arranged in a distinctive fishbone pattern. Hence the name. Yeah, we don't need that tagged on at the end, brother. But here's the kicker. Dude, this is like the 8th article where they say, here's the kicker. I'm sorry. I need to calm down. Here's the kicker. No one knows exactly why they were built. Theories range from military defenses to secret meeting places for early Christians. Ooh, saucy little secrets going on down there. Let's go down there. Okay, Toby, I want you to get all of our buddies together. And we're going to go down there. We're going to pray. We're going to pray so hard. Okay, can we keep our robes on this time? No, it's the rules of the catacombs. Toby, look at me. No robes in the tunnels. And we're going to pray. We're going to pray real close and nice. Okay. Pan me says, I'm Aquarius. I'm asking where you're watching this from. But I love that you shared it. I'm happy you're an Aquarius. That's great. While most of the passages of the network are off limits to the public, you can still get a taste of this underground marvel by visiting, man, French would be so tough if I lived there. I'm not going to try. Something archaeological site. Who knows? You might even stumble upon a secret entrance to this hidden city beneath the city. So encouraging, vandals, but okay. They have a big Renaissance district. The gastronomic capital with a twist. Pardon? You've probably heard that Lion is the gastronomic? Gemesheim, okay, let's knock it down. Gemesheim. Thanks, guys, for hanging out with me. If you enjoy this, just like the live or make sure to tell me where you're watching this from. So, this is the last one I'm going to do for Leon, and then I'm going to go to Sacramento. Oh, that's cool. I don't even know if the people who suggested are still here, but I'm going to check it out anyway. You've probably heard that it is the gastronomical capital of France. Never heard that. Wow, I've never, ever heard that, but you learn something new every day. But did you know it's also home to some truly unique culinary traditions? No. Let's start with the, forgive me guys, bouchons? Like you guys, it's not, you don't do the S's, right? Like bouchon. Traditional Lyonnaise? Oh, damn it, dude. Oh, I'm so bad at French. Restaurants that serve hearty, no frills cuisine. Those cozy eateries have a fascinating history, originating as inns where silk merchants would stop to debouchet on cork. Debouchet? Please tell me I got that right. Debouchet? I don't care. They would uncork their wine and rest their horses. Dude, whenever you hear stories back in the day of places you've never been to that you don't know a lot of history about, you always see like certain little stories that make you think, oh, so it's just like, so how far away was Lord of the Rings from reality anyway? Right? You know, you look at these things like these eateries used to be inns where silk merchants would stop to uncork their wine and rest their horses. And you're like, so fantasy novels and medieval tales, just the only thing that is slightly different is like there's a dragon. And even then it's just like, well, were there dinosaurs? I don't know. How crazy can it honestly be? Oh, thank you, Jeremy, very, 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 very much. That's very kind of you. Thank you so much. I really deeply appreciate that a lot. Thank you very much. And I hope you're having fun, Jeremy. Thank you so much again, really. Let's see. The City of a Thousand Fountains. That's interesting. I'll do the Thousand Fountains. Thanks, CDR, for liking the live. I really appreciate that. So, City of a Thousand Fountains, okay? I'm going to read this one and then move to the next place, which is Sacramento. Get ready to make a splash because Lyon is home to over 1,000 fountains. Why do you need so many fountains? That's right. This city is practically overflowing. It sounds like it's just ripe for like literally flooding, like literally not being able to be above sea level with aquatic artistry. From grand ornate structures to quirky modern designs, Lyon's fountains are a feast for the eyes and a refreshing treat on a hot summer day. I hate the person who wrote this. Here's the real showstopper. The Bartholdi Fountain in Place des Terreaux, created by Frederick Auguste Bartholdi. Yes, the same guy who designed the Statue of Liberty. I didn't know his name, because I'm dumb. This magnificent fountain depicts France as a female figure steering four great rivers. So she was doing one over here, one over there, and one over there, one over there. You guys get out of here. That's what she's saying. She's saying, ugh, these rivers. You got to get out of here. I'm sorry. Originally designed for Bordeaux, the fountain was rejected for being too expensive. Oh, that! What a funny job. What a funny world to live in where someone's like, all right, so, okay, you guys want a fountain, right? So, okay, I got this idea, okay? I want to have, this is my French accent, by the way. I want to have a fountain, so it's some really good-looking woman, right? And she's, like, super powerful. It's, like, you know, just, like, empowering women, right? You want to empower women, right? Cool. So she's there, right? And then she's, like, she has, like, four rivers, right? And we're going to make real rivers, right? We're going to have a river that way. And it's going to go until it reaches ocean. And we're going to have a river this way until it reaches ocean. And then the same thing. The cost is going to be $800 billion. And we live in the 1700s. It's crazy to me, dude. It's crazy, the stuff people were thinking of back then. It's nuts. If you're visiting in December, don't miss the Festival of Lights. Okay, so that is a nice little fun wrap-up on Lyon. Let's do Sacramento. I don't know why I did that song. Fun facts about... Okay, we have Sacramento. If anyone else wants to put their city or country that they're watching this from into the chat, let me know, and I'll put it on the list, and we'll have some fun here. So, 12 facts about Sacramento that will surprise you. Why is the first image, I pulled up this article, the first image are the two absolutely most German-looking people I've ever seen since I left my house this morning. Like, they're biking, they're two whiteys cycling over a bridge. So there's a river and there's greenery, helmets, expensive gear, spandex. Guys, I'm all for exercise, but is it so hard to like look chill? I mean, I don't know. Okay, so this is clearly written by someone who lives in Sacramento, which is always funny for me. Oh, side note, ZZ Baby says, hey, King, have you watched Heated Rivalry yet? No, I have not watched Heated Rivalry. I just haven't yet. So this is clearly written by someone from Sacramento because it's like, we do this and in our city, blah, blah, blah. So take that with a grain of salt. Number one, it says, we make everyone else's farm to fork trend look like amateur hour. Dude, for someone like me, that's a great way to turn me off from like literally ever visiting. It's like, oh, number one, we make farm to table look a little bit more professional than everyone else. It says, you know how other places say it's not a trend? That's a way of life. Well, here, it's also our history. We are known and have been for a while now as America's farm to fork capital. Our produce is shipped all over the United States year-round, and we have around 40 farmers markets. Take that, farmer market city place. Take that, Europe. You know, I love that they're like, Sacramento is a big, thriving part of the West, and it's like, you know, guys, we actually have a lot of farmers markets. Have you ever been to a farmer market? We have 40. Can you even count to 40? I love this. It literally, the article says, we have 40. And then it goes, 40. Yeah, nice. Anyway, September is devoted to farm to fork. You couldn't pay me to say that 10 times fast. Events and restaurants culminating in a large gala dinner on the famous Tower Bridge. Oh, they have a great name for it too. It's called the Tower Bridge Dinner. When I thought they said 40 farmers markets, I was like, oh, the innovation must stop there. How? What other incredible ideas would they possibly have? Well, they have a dinner on the Tower Bridge. They called it the Tower Bridge Dinner. The locally sourced five-course meal is served to over 800 guests, and tickets routinely sell out in seconds. I'm sure it does. Picture an extremely long banquet table running down the middle of the bridge, set with wine glasses, tablecloths, and fresh flowers. Of course, it sells out. They wrote that in italics, dude. It sells out pretty quick. They said that like 8 times. For something more accessible, check out the Farm to Fork Festival. Jesus! For friends, we recommend a Farm to Fork Festival. I hope Jay Leno never has to go there. I like the Farm to Fork Festival. I like the Farm to Fork Festival. On the last Saturday in September, it's blah, 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 blah. There's food and it's expensive and, yeah. City of Trees is Sacramento's nickname for a reason. Okay, you have my attention. True, Sacramento has its fair share of nicknames. Oh, the person who wrote this is like the mayor of Sacramento. Like, we just got too much praise, too many compliments. It's just like kind of hard to pick one to talk about. Sacramento has its fair share of nicknames, but one of the favorites of the mayor who wrote this article is City of Trees. Though it's a bit difficult not to lose count, our city has the most trees per capita of any other city in the world. See, now that's cool. That's an interesting fact. You could just say that. And then it goes, though some say Paris takes the top spot. These elms, oaks, and sycamores provide a totally green aesthetic to our community and much-needed shade in the summer months. They can actually lower ground temperatures by 36 degrees on a hot day. Whoa! Okay. Now we're getting interesting. All right, one more for Sacramento. And again, guys, if you're just joining in, I'm going through cities and countries where you are watching this from. If I haven't covered it already, I'm looking up fun facts and we can have some fun, like kind of mocking some of the like the highlight things like that. Just having some fun. So, by the way, when you pitch your city to me or country and I do jokes like this, it's just jokes. I'm grateful that you're here and I hope you're having a wonderful day and we're just having fun. Let's see. The original city is underground? I never heard that. What? Okay, now I'm invested in Sacramento. Now I know why the article started so pretentious. So, let the ghost stories commence. In 1862, Sacramento was hit by a massive storm, and the subsequent, that's always a hard word for me, the subsequent flooding ended up being among the worst in California's recorded history, so intense that it created a temporary inland sea. Ooh, see, now that's interesting. A lot of the locals were forced to relocate, at least temporarily, including the local government, who hightailed it for San Francisco. Oh man, there's so much water here. You want to go to San Francisco? You want to go to San Francisco? Definitely not for any other reasons. I don't know what they're doing over there in San Francisco. Why do you want to go to San Francisco with me? For over a year, those that stayed behind persevered, worked on raising the streets, literally, wild, and ultimately saved the city. This ended up creating underground spaces and walkways that are more than 9 feet below ground. That's crazy! These days, underground tours put on by the Sacramento History Museum take visitors down into the tunnels to share stories about the businesses and lives that thrived below our feet, and to rave about the Sacramento spirit that helped the city to rebuild. Okay, that is it for Sacramento. So let's see, we did Sacramento, we did Stuttgart, we did Frankfurt, we did Zurich, we did Gelsenkirchen, we did Lyon, France. Now it's Chicago. Let's see. Fun facts about Chicago. The funny thing is about Chicago, too, is like so many Germans are obsessed with Chicago. With Chicago. They always call it Chicago. It's not. It's Chicago. I know it's the CH. It's not your fault. So, 15 surprising facts about Chicago. Here we go. Okay. No, I don't want to subscribe. Thank you very much. Here we go. Again, for those who are chilling here, if you haven't liked the live already, it's an easy way to support this. If you're having fun, it's free to do, and I really appreciate it. So here we go. Number one, the Chicago River is the only river in the world that permanently flows backwards. Now, let me, that statement itself, I know it's scientifically true. I know it's true. Part of me is like, if it's always been and always will be going in a direction, do you think some guy just had a few too many beers back in the day and was like, I think that looks backwards to me. Do you think some guy was just like, oh, he got lost in the woods around it and was like, this river is backwards, dude. And they're like, oh, it's the first one to do that. It flows away from Lake Michigan, which supplies the city's drinking water. This was done around the turn of the 20th century to provide potential contamination from the river into the lake. So the Chicago River is man-made, and it was designed to flow away from a lake. Again, you can say it is one of the fewest man-made rivers, at least in the United States, that was designed to flow away from a lake as opposed to towards it. To say it flows backwards is just like, that's great marketing. Let's make that sound more interesting. Thank you, Jeremy, for sharing the live. I appreciate that. From the top of Willis Tower, still known to locals as the CS Tower, you can see four states on a clear day. Oh, see, now that's cool. You can see Illinois, Indiana, Wisconsin, and Michigan. That, for me, is really interesting. That's cool. It's like when you go to like the south of Germany, and you go like in these really tall mountains or something, or like in Switzerland, and you stand up like above the gods, and you look and you're like, oh, that's literally Austria. Or like Lake Constance, like in Bregenz, like Lake Constance, you're there on the water, and you're like, that right there, that's Austria, that right there is Switzerland, and this is Germany. Crazy, right? How cool is that? The Ferris wheel was invented in Chicago. Did not know that. Someone will have to tell Abby from The Last of Us Part 2. The Ferris wheel was invented in Chicago 1893 for presentation at the World's Columbia Exposition. Jeremy was at Constance yesterday. Dude, crazy timing, huh? What a coincidence. In 1885, Chicago became the home of the world's first skyscraper. See, now I did not know that Chicago was the home of the first skyscraper. Almost as impressive as designing the first Ferris wheel. I did know that Batman's Gotham City was the inspiration. I did know that. But that's not like an actual fun fact. It's not like something you could go and see in Chicago. You know what I mean? Walt Disney was born there. Could not even remotely care less. That's like saying, if I was born in a place you didn't expect it, if I was born in like Johannesburg or something, you'd be like, oh, wow, cool. Like, who cares? Why is that? That Chicago is more interesting than where Walt Disney was born. Every year, the city dyes the river green for St. Patrick's Day, and it's quite the sight to see. That can't be good, right? Like, long term, that can't be good. That can't be good, right? That can't be like a good thing. My brain's breaking. Like, that can't be good, right? To do that, like, year after year after year. Twinkies, a snack food. By the way, for those who are just popping in and joining, I'm asking people like what city or country they're watching this from, and going to like fun facts about that place and just having some fun, just making some jokes. When did you get a new hat? Like 4 days ago. Every year the city dies. That can't be good for the water, guys. There's no way. Like, the thing is, there just is no way that like dying the river green for St. Patty's Day year after year after year, there's no way that can be good. It can't be good. I'm watching from Munich in Germany. Do you know it? Now I might recognize that random selection of like Matrix code, buddy. No one ever heard of Munich, and I'll visit it one day. I live in a small farm underground with Ted Kaczynski. Chicago has more movable bridges than any other city in the world. See, now that's an interesting little architectural fact. Okay, guys. Okay, I'm going to do lightning round now because we are touching on the 1 hour mark, and I wish I could stream like all day. That'd be really fun. Maybe I will do like a super long stream, but I did a lot about Chicago, but I promised, I don't know if the people are still in the chat here, but I did promise one, two, three. I promised a few other ones. So let's do quickly like a rapid fire Maryland. 13 fun facts about Maryland. Oh my goodness. Okay. In 1902, Maryland became the first state to enact workers' compensation laws. Hey, nice. Oh, Kenya. Kenya's in the chat. Yo, that's amazing. Wow. Okay, shit. Maybe I have to, like, stay a little longer. Maybe I have to stay a little longer on that one. Okay, baseball legend George Herman. Oh, Babe Ruth. Yeah, was born in Baltimore. Okay. Wild ponies can be found roaming the beaches. Wild pony in Maryland. In Maryland, wild ponies can be found roaming the beaches. I'm gonna say this wrong, guys. I'm so sorry. I've never seen this word before. Assateague Island off the coast of eastern Maryland. What? You just okay, like the Baltimore? They got wild ponies over there. What's the deal? Maryland leads the United States in the production of blue crabs and soft clams. Why do I not like the phonetic sound of soft clams? Yeah, we got blue crabs, we got soft clams. We got wet clams, dry clams, soft clams, ramp clams. And, yeah, okay, so, yeah, we got blue crabs, soft clams. You want a blue crab or a soft clam? We got soft crabs and we got blue clams and we got blue crabs and soft clams. Doesn't sound good. Here's a great one, guys. Charles Manson and Jeremiah Dixon surveyed the Mason-Dixon line, Maryland's northern boundary between 1763 and... I said Charles Manson. I was like, oh, here comes a fun fact, but it's Mason. Okay, the Mason-Dixon line. Okay, yeah. Okay, I have to move on. Yeah, for time. We did Chicago, we did Maryland. I said Lindelhof, which I'm very curious what there's going to be about this. Fun facts about Lindelhof. Oh, it's just a specific palace. Oh, okay. Or am I wrong? I'm not really seeing a lot about like five. Yeah, just keep saying like Lindelhof Palace. Okay, then I'll just read what's the first things here and see what comes up. Key fun facts about Lindelhof. The Table Dich Decke, the magic table. Good morning from Berlin. What's up, studio? The dining room features a table that could be lowered through the floor into the kitchen below via a pulley system. Doesn't that remind you of that Spanish film? What's the one, like, what's it called? Where it was like the food that came down and like they would like scrap to eat it as it went down and down and down. You guys know what I'm talking about? It was a really successful Spanish movie on Netflix. It was so big. Damn it. Well, whatever. So the magic table can move and have a pulley system. So there's that. The Venus Grotto and electric light. Ludwig built a massive artificial walk-in grotto inspired by Wagner. Okay, I have to look at some of these words. What's a grotto? What is a grotto? A small picturesque cave. Are you kidding me? He built a cave? What? He built a what? A what? A cave. With electric... Oh, okay. I read ahead. Sorry. Ludwig built a massive artificial walk-in cave inspired by Wagner's Tannhäuser. I'm guessing that is... The platform. Thank you. Yes, the platform. Yes. I'm guessing that Tannhäuser is like a kind of cave. I feel so stupid asking that, but I don't know. It featured a swan boat, a wave, and a wave machine. This is what I'm talking about. You see stuff that's built so long ago, and they're talking. the stuff they build is like stuff that Elon Musk would build today because he's worth the same amount of money that the Earth is worth if he wanted to sell it to aliens. Like, he's like, yeah, I think I'm going to, I'm going to build a cave in my mansion. Actually, it's going to be underground. It's going to be about 45 kilometers wide and long. And yeah, I think it's kind of cool. Maybe I'll build like an artificial walk-in grotto inspired by Wagner's Tannhäuser. It's going to have a swan boat. I needed to have a swan boat. And also like a wave machine. It's like, this is like the early times of humanity. You get that, right? When was that? Like, when did he build that? Between 1869 and, he's like, you know, this is 1871. You want a wave pool in your underground cave? We're still building the bathrooms, my guy. This is a castle. It's not going to be done for 15 years.
I was like, I really would like a goon cave and maybe like a little space to play I'd like a room to play chess with the Pope.
What? They're like, that's actually the least crazy thing you asked for. A swan boat, a wave machine. It was illuminated by one of Bavaria's first electrical power stations, dude. You could just ask for that. Oh, let me just build a power station. Figure it out. A mini Versailles. Oh my God. While small, the palace is deeply inspired by Versailles with the Hall of Mirrors designed for the king to read in at night by candlelight. That is so cool. Bouncing light from a candle off of like a shit ton of mirrors. How did they even make mirrors back then? How did they have mirrors in eight? I'm losing my mind here. Oh, my live is going to end in 5 minutes. Okay. I want to read so much more about Lindhoff now. I did say, oh, man, there's so many things to get through. It's gonna cut me off in five, so if it just stops randomly, please forgive me. I have to really rush now. I'm trying to get at least one or two things from each place that was submitted earlier. Okay. Karlsruhe, founded in 1715. What? Crazy. So long ago. Is known, well, actually, in Europe terms, that was like yesterday, is known as Germany's fan-shaped city. Due to its 32 streets radiating from a central palace, it serves as the nation's judicial capital, housing the federal constitutional court. It is the birthplace of the bicycle. So I need to blame Karlsruhe for every single person that I've ever seen on a road that I really didn't like. I'm kidding, slightly, a little bit. Let's do Kenya now. I don't know how much time I have left here. Let's do Kenya. 10 interesting facts about Kenya. Okay, here we go. So, Kenya is a human fossil hotbed, often referred to as the cradle of humanity. Oh, that's... Dude, if you don't have, like, the cradle of humanity tattooed, like, come on. That's so sick. Kenya holds some of the oldest human fossils ever recorded by paleontologists. Awesome. I'd love to see that. Oh, my God. Humanity's earliest ancestors lived in the... I'm so sorry. I will be pronouncing things wrong consistently in this. Olorgasalie? Oh, God, please forgive me. Region between 1.2 million and 500,000 years ago in modern-day Kenya. The oldest known human fossil, the Turkana boy, was found near Lake Turkana in Kenya. He is estimated to be roughly 1.5 million years old. I need to do a part two of this. Yes, you're absolutely right about that. This is so fun. I'm also learning myself. if you guys are having fun, please be sure to like the live. It's free to do, and it really helps me a lot. Or give me a follow if you haven't joined already. Mount Kenya is the second highest mountain in Africa, towering at nearly 6,000 meters. Or, for the Americans out there, 19,400 feet. Mount Kenya is a volcanic mountain in central Kenya, holding the title of the second highest mountain in Africa, surpassed only by Kilimanjaro. I went to Tanzania and to Zanzibar, and there was a beer called the Kilimanjaro, and it was so funny. Like, I was on vacation, I was relaxed, I was on the beach, toes in the sand, and I'm a big guy, I'm tall and I have a big stature. So I had these little like Kilimanjaro beers and I was just knocking them out like a glass of water. And then this guy would come back and be like, okay, sir, another Kilimanjaro? I was like, yes. And then dude, he was like almost laughing with joy, bringing me more and more Kilimanjaros. I mean, it was like a perfect combination of like, he was so sweet and funny to be around, and he was so nice and told me so many great stories. Like a really good, cool person, but then also like the good service too. So I was just there like, yeah, another one. Like, you know, that's great. And Kenya has, 535 kilometers of coastline. I need to look at some maps. I need to like channel my inner Johnny Harris and start looking at some maps. Kenya's national animal is the lion. Oh, and there are more than 60 different languages spoken in Kenya. Beautiful. That's fascinating, man. Guys, I think I have to wrap it here because it's going so long that TikTok's about to cut off my live. If you want another series or a part two, please, like this live or give me a follow if you haven't done it already. I agree. Learning around the world fun facts is so much fun. It's also good to just like be silly and just have a good laugh while learning something new. If you guys want more, thank you, Jeremy. If you guys want more series like this, you can always send me comments or just make sure to follow for the next live I do. And thank you so much for being here, guys. This was so much fun. Thank you. Have a wonderful day. And bye, bye, podcast listeners. I hope you had a lot of fun. Sending lots of love. Talk to you next week. Look out, baby. The saints are coming through. Man, it's all over now. Baby blue. Artsy Fartsy Immigrants, ein Podcast von Jordan Prinz und Moritz Batscheider, produziert für M94.5.